So good to see everyone today, and we thank you for being here. I'd like you to turn in the Old Testament, please, to the book of Judges. Joshua. To the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. I want to speak on the subject of memorials, given that this is Memorial Day weekend. I want to speak about the importance of making memorials in our lives, setting stones, as it were. I thought about having a bunch of rocks brought up on the platform this morning and illustrating it, but then I thought, boy, that would be a temptation for someone to cast the first stone, and I wouldn't want that to happen, so chose against that. The memorials that we're going to be reading about have to do with stones that were set up to commemorate and to remember. That's what the idea of a memorial is to cause people to remember. Joshua chapter 4, I want to read the first 7 verses and then skip to verse 19. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. It came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe." So Joshua has led the children of Israel. Moses is now dead. He's led them to the border of the promised land. And the Jordan River divides them from the promised land. And as Moses did to the Red Sea, or God did to the Red Sea through the command of Moses and his rod, so Joshua will do the same to the Jordan River. If you read the chapter before, you'll notice that it wasn't a rod that Joshua used, but it was the Ark of the Covenant. It was the priests stepping in to the waters with the Ark of the Covenant that caused the waters to roll back upriver at the city of Adam. That's where the waters heaped upon themselves so that dry ground was available. And when all the people had crossed over, God said, "Joshua, I want you to take 12 men, one that represents each of the 12 tribes, verse 3, and command them, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priests stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight.'" Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you? What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever." Now skip to verse 19, if you would, please. "Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, 'When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What are these stones?" Then you shall let your children know, saying, "Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear me, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." God says to Joshua, he says, "I want you to take those 12 stones that are set up by the Jordan. And then I want you to move them to Gilgal, and I want you to set them up again. And I want them to be there as a memorial, as a remembrance of what God did for you this day. That he allowed you to cross over on dry land." You see, the thing that is missing in the Red Sea crossing is a memorial. We don't read of any memorial being set up after the crossing of the Red Sea. The only memorial that they had probably was the floating chariots and the pieces of armor left from the Pharaoh's army that was drowned, that resided on the sides of the Red Sea. But on Jordan, God said, "I want you to set up a reminder, a memorial, 12 stones, so that when your children grow up and they say, 'What do these stones mean?' you can recount to them not only the crossing of the Jordan, but also the crossing of the Red Sea, so that nobody ever forgets that, verse 24, the hand of the Lord is mighty." How many today believe the hand of the Lord is mighty? Amen. And so Joshua said, I don't want anyone to forget. And God said to Joshua, "I don't want anyone to forget." So they set up a memorial to remind people that the Lord's hand is mighty. Now, if you will move forward in the Bible to the book of 1 Samuel, please, chapter 7. 1 Samuel, chapter 7. Years have passed, and we come to the end of the time of the judges. You'll remember a few weeks ago we did a study out of Ruth, which is the time of the judges. Well, 1 Samuel is a book that records the time of the last judge of Israel, the last judge, which was Samuel. He would follow Eli. And so Samuel would be this miracle baby. Samuel would be this miracle baby born of Hannah and Elkanah, she couldn't have children, and God granted her request. He will be the last judge of Israel and the first prophet of Israel that will usher in the time of a king. So Saul will be king, and then David will be king. This is what 1 Samuel tells us about. So in 1 Samuel chapter 7, starting in verse 9, Samuel is grown now, and he's judging Israel. And Israel's in trouble. Israel has not followed the Lord. And so Israel thought, "We know a way to handle the Philistines. We're going to take the Ark of the Covenant." Remember, the Ark of the Covenant is what they used to stop the waters of Jordan. And that's part of why the stones were set up. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. And the Israelites said, "We know how to defeat the Philistines. We will take the Ark of the Covenant into battle with us." But when they took it into battle, they lost, and the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. And it was so devastating that one woman giving birth at that time said, "Name my child Ichabod, because it means the glory has departed. We've lost the Ark of the Covenant. We've lost it." Because the children of Israel were not following the Lord. And they thought there was some magical powers in the Ark of the Covenant, and there really weren't. It was representative of the presence of God, but they weren't living for God at the time. And so the Ark of the Covenant goes to the Philistine camps, and they have all kinds of trouble. They begin to have problems in their body. They begin to see the judgment of God. So the Philistines decided, "It's time to get the Ark of the Covenant out of our land. We're going to send it back to Israel. We don't want it anymore." And so Samuel says to them, they cry out to Samuel, and he said, here's what we're going to do, verse 9. "Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him." He cried out and said, "God, forgive Israel," as every judge had done up to that point. Samuel said, "Forgive us, God. We haven't followed you. We haven't served you. And the Ark of the Covenant was stolen or captured, and we lost it. Now it's come back, and we repent So there was a time of intercession, a time of repentance, a time of sacrifice. Verse 9, he took this lamb and burned it whole to the Lord, and Samuel cried out to the Lord. Verse 10, now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. So the Philistines thought, okay, the Ark of the Covenant is back in Israel land. Now we'll attack and we can win again just as we've been winning. The only difference now is the people had repented. They had made sacrifice to God. Intercession had been made. And now the battle was going to go for the Lord and not for the enemy. Amen. Come on. Amen. For the Lord. And so it says it thundered so loud. God literally used the thunder of a storm, and it was so loud that it discombobulated. Is that a word? It discombobulated all of the Philistines, and they were overcome before Israel. Verse 11. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone. Look at that. Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called his name, the stone, he called it Ebenezer. Because the name Ebenezer means this is the stone of help. And he said, because this is where the Lord helped us. He set up a memorial, a stone, so that everyone would always remember, this is when the Lord helped us. This is when the Lord helped us. How many know we must remember those days when the Lord helped us? Amen. We must never forget when the Lord helped us. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. That was the Ebenezer stone. Now, if you'll turn, please, to Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 118. Joshua set up memorial stones. Samuel set up a memorial stone. And David will write in Psalms 118, beginning in verse 19. Give you a moment to get there. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Verse 19 of Psalms 118. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. David prophetically declares, thousands of years before it would happen, he declares that Jesus will become the chief cornerstone of the church. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. He declares prophetically, this is the day that the Lord helped us. Because they've rejected the chief cornerstone. They went looking for a stone to build a building, the cornerstone, and they rejected the one that was supposed to be there. That is prophetical of Jesus Christ. How many know they rejected Jesus? How many know that, right? And yet he became the chief cornerstone of the church. Turn now to Ephesians chapter 2, please, for the final verse this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And Paul will record, and he'll quote from the Psalms. He'll refer to the Psalms, the very Psalm that we just read. He'll say these words. Ephesians 2, 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being what? the chief cornerstone, the memorial stone. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us always remember that Jesus, today and every day, is the chief cornerstone of the church and of the believer, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Every day, this is the day the Lord has made. Every day, you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, are being built up as a building, and we are built on the memorial stone, on the foundation stone, on the chief cornerstone called Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Every day is a day that we can celebrate that the Lord is mighty, that He is our helper, that as He rolled back the waters of the Jordan and the Red Sea, He can roll back the waters for us. How many know God still can do that today? Amen. And so we need a memorial. We need something to remind us every day. Very quickly, I want to give you 5 reasons that we need memorials in our lives. 5 reasons that we need memorials in our lives. Number 1, memorials help us remember because we tend to forget. How many here can be forgetful? How many are lying by not raising your hands? Come on, how many can be forgetful? That's better. That's revival. We tend to forget things, don't we? We tend to forget. That's why we need memorials, because they help us remember. As a nation, our memorials are so important to us as a people and as a nation, because we tend to forget what was done for us by the generations that came before us that fought for our freedoms. Amen. We tend to forget about World War II. We tend to forget about Pearl Harbor. We tend to forget even as close as 9/11 is. We tend to forget about the sacrifices made by men and women who gave their lives for this country. That's why we build memorials, so that our children can go by and say, "What does this wall mean?" Well, let me tell you what that wall means. You see that name there? That was your grandpa. And he went to battle and he gave his life so that we have a right in this nation to worship God freely and unimpeded. They gave their life for that. Hallelujah. Why is that funny looking thing floating out in Pearl Harbor? What is that? That's a memorial. Because underneath it is a ship called the Arizona, and in it is the remains of those men who died on that day in 1941 on December 7th. It is a memorial to those who were willing to sacrifice their lives for us. And lest we forget, we made a memorial so people could go there and be reminded that memorials count, and we have a freedom that was paid with a price of blood. Come on. Memorials help us to remember because we tend to forget. One of the sad things I see happening in our culture today is the generation we call the millennials are beginning to wonder if some of these events actually happened because of revisionist history. That's why we need memorials. We need memorials to remind every generation of the freedoms that we have today. And that's why we have Memorial Day tomorrow, is so we'll never forget that some men and women who are not with us today gave their lives so we could be doing exactly what we are doing right now, freely. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give applause to all of those families and those individuals today. Thank you, men and women. Amen. God said to Joshua, "I never want the children to forget. That's why I want you to build a memorial." Number 2, memorials are important because they are a testimony to our children and to our grandchildren. Joshua said, "When your children come by that didn't see the parting of the Red Sea, or they didn't see the parting of the Jordan River, These stones are a reminder for you to tell them. See, we have a responsibility. Those of us who have seen God do some mighty things, we have a responsibility to tell our children of what happened. And the best way we can do that is to build a memorial. Now, I'm not saying we have to go out and set stones in place, but let me tell you, there are some things that happen in our lives that I keep referring Eddie and Sharina back to, and I say, remember when God did that? You see, we've made that a memorial. We didn't have to set up stones for it, but in our hearts, we've set up a pile of stones, and so that we can tell them, this is what happened, this is what happened. And even today, our grandchildren go to our church camp. And I want to tell you, church camps are important. How many know they're important? Amen? And we appreciate your support and your scholarships and all the things you do for our camp. The camp is a memorial. And I tell my grandchildren, I tell them when they're old enough to remember, I say, this camp is a memorial. And right over there, your daddy had the call to ministry. Right over there, your mama had called to ministry. Right over there, your grandpa did this and did that. Because our camp is a memorial, not just for us, but for every group that uses that camp for years and years and years. I have people come by and say, just the other day someone drove in and said, I just had to tell my friend. She wanted to know what's so important about camp. I drove her up here and I said, that's where I gave my heart to Jesus. That's where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's where I received the call of ministry. That's why this is important. This camp is a memorial of what God did for me, and that's why He can do it for you. Hallelujah. It's not just camps, but anything that the Lord has done for you. And you can tell it to your children. I want to tell you, that ought to be a memorial. Amen? Amen. Build some stones around it. Number three, memorials serve as an encouragement in times of discouragement. When we go by a memorial and we're discouraged, that memorial would encourage us. You going to finish? Oh. Don't play yet. I'm not quite done. Okay. You could finish this. Don't make faces back there. John, watch her. I know you normally watch me, but watch her. They serve as an encouragement in times of discouragement. A memorial will encourage you when you go and you see, and you say, see those stones? That's an Ebenezer stone. God helped us. We were facing a tremendous dilemma building this building. And as most of you know, this building is debt-free. We owe nothing on this building. We have no mortgage. Never had a mortgage. But we were facing a very difficult time, a very expensive bill. And a family contacted me. They had sold a piece of property, and they brought me their tithe check. And they said, use this wherever you need it, no strings attached. But it was a rather large sum of money. And they said, we just feel like God wants to use this. And so we accepted the check, and when I looked at it, to this date, it's the largest check we have ever received in a tithe. They'd sold the property, tithed on it. And they told me where the property was that they sold it. And I won't say who, I won't say what the property was. But I'll tell you this, every time I drive by that property, it is a memorial to me. And I say thank you to that business that was there that bought the property, that helped us pay the bill that we had on this building, that helped build this edifice that you're sitting in right now. That is a memorial, and every time we're on fourth plane, I'll give you that hint. Every time we're on fourth plane and we pass it, we go, thank you very much. Thank you, God. That spot is an Ebenezer stone for us because God was showed himself mighty at that moment. Amen? Praise God. Make it a time of encouragement. And it encourages us that God can do it again. How many believe God can do it again? Amen? God can do it again. Number four. Memorials are an opportunity to share with the curious. I've had people ask me questions about this facility. How did you build this debt-free? Well, it wasn't us. And I tell them about the little penny marches we used to have, and the little children that brought their offerings, and the sacrifices that our senior citizens made, and the families that gave money when we started raising funds. And I tell them about the carpet and who paid for that. And I tell them about all these things. And I walk around this building. This is an Ebenezer stone right here. And you don't know all the stories. I've tried to share some with you, but I'll tell you, there's stories written all over this building. All over this building. A man that passed away just not too long ago, a couple months ago, was out of, you know, a contractor out of work. He had a lot of times on his hands. He was the one up on the scaffolding helping us put up this sheetrock so that we could get the building done. And he's gone now, but I will always remember his help just in the time of need. Another man who's now gone as well. Matter of fact, everyone who worked on this building is dead. No, I'm kidding. But every time I walk through here, I say thank you, God, for providing. And it encourages us. And I share with people how we did what we did here. It wasn't us. It was God. And they ask about our family. And I tell them, I'll tell you, memorials are a great opportunity to share what God can do with the curious. Amen? And someone may ask you someday, why can your family smile through this situation? How can your family react so calmly in this situation? That's your opportunity to say, well, let me tell you about the Ebenezer stone. Amen? Let me tell you about the memorial. Let me tell you about what God did for me. And finally, lastly, memorials bring glory to our Lord. Memorials bring glory to our Lord. And our lives, really, our lives are the memorials that bring glory to the Lord. They really are. Because every one of you here today, well, I don't know some of you, so I won't say everyone, but I think the majority of you here today, at one time or another, God helped you. God helped you. God helped you. Even during that time when my precious mother was not serving the Lord, she would tell me about things that would happen where God spared her life. She was in an automobile wreck in Central California, thrown from the car. She didn't believe in seat belts. Bless her heart. They had just kind of come out in those days. She was thrown from the car, her mouth filled with sand from a dry riverbed as she slid along the ground. She was choking to death. And right behind her happened to be a doctor who jumped out of his car, cleaned out her airwaves, and saved her life. And she, though she wasn't serving the Lord at the time, she said to her boys, God did that, son. God did that, fellas. God did that. God spared your mama. It was an Ebenezer stone for her. Every one of us have stories of what God has done for us. Amen? And they bring glory to the Lord. And that's why it's important that we have memorials. And your life is a living memorial. Every one of you is a living memorial. You can play now. Thank you, sweetheart. Amen. A living memorial of what God did for you. Never forget. Never forget. That's why we have memorials. So we never, ever, ever forget. Let's stand together, please. Thank you, Lord, for the stones that Joshua set up. For the Ebenezer stone that Samuel set up. Thank you, Lord, for the cornerstone that David wrote about. Thank you for the building being built on that cornerstone, the church that Paul spoke about. Thank you for the memorials that we have in our nation, in our city. Thank you for the memorials that we have in our own lives and in our church. Thank you for every person here today who could truly say, hitherto God has helped us. If that's true, then they are a memorial that will bring glory to the Lord. Help us on this Memorial Day to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our nation. Help us to remember the one who gave his life for our spiritual freedom, Jesus Christ, who gave his all for us. Help us to live like living memorials. Peter calls us living stones being built up together. Help us to live our lives so that people can ask us and we can share with them what God has done for us. We thank you, Lord, for all the times you've helped us. And we know that you're not done yet. Even now, you're getting ready to help somebody else. Even now, you're getting ready to meet a need. And we can have confidence in that because you've done it before. God can do it again. We thank you for all of these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand clap today. Amen. 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 So be a good memorial. God bless you. You're dismissed. And if not before, we'll see you next Sunday in God's house. Blessings to all of you. Thank you for coming to church today.